If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most radio talk shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salary, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. The address? LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend on you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
We pray for the people of the Gulf. And we pray that a hand may guide us through the storm towards a brighter day.
Whether we agree with Al Gore's politics or not, we certainly don't ever want to celebrate the end of a marriage. And we've seen a lot of mockery, including from the right, the likes of Rush Limbaugh, who's on his own fourth marriage and probably is not really in a position to judge on this one.
There are three possibilities here. You are either the son of God, or you're delusional, or you're a very successful con man.
The Jesus statue at Solid Rock Church went up in flames last night after it was hit by lightning.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love Issues Etc.
You know what I noticed? We had lunch earlier today during a meeting here in my office, because it's the only place to kind of spread out at our palatial LPR studio. And Craig's side of the table, where we had some pizza. Craig's side of the table, all put back where it belongs. There's not a hint that Craig was ever in here. He cleans up after himself. And if I reach over here, Jeff leaves his Coke can sitting here, right on my desk, as though he owns the place. And I think Craig cleaned up after him, if I'm not mistaken. I think Craig came in afterwards and cleaned up his plate and his napkins and all the other stuff. The crust from his pizza. I don't know. It's a respect thing, if you ask me. And apparently Craig has proper respect for someone else's office.
Jeff had crumbs on his face. I had to wipe off his face, too. So,
all right.
He looks better now.
Well, that's how things usually go pre-show here at LPR, before Issues Etc. comes on the air. Now, post-show, during the show, on Fridays, we usually have listener email, the comment line, blog of the week. A little bit later, we'll do Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. By the way, we've got some excellent soundbites this week for you to listen to and to vote for later in the program. You can listen right now if you want to at our website, issuesetc.org. They are posted there on the homepage for you to listen to. And then the voting, you can email your vote to us, or you can call us later in the program. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours of this Friday afternoon, June the 18th show, 1-877-623-6943. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can Twitter us at @IssuesETC. And our Facebook fan page, you can also vote there for Soundbite of the Week, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Before we get to email and the comment line, some people to thank. A couple weeks ago, it seems like a couple weeks ago, but I think it was only a little bit more than a week ago, Dave and Martha and Hannah Spots stopped by the studio for a little visit. It's always nice to have people come by and see us. And then yesterday, was that probably, except for our anniversary, the most visited day of Issues Etc.'s 2-year return history? I think except for our anniversary, where we just invited everybody in, that was the most visited day. We had Will Wheaton in to record early in the morning. We had the Pastor's Roundtable. It's two other guys. A couple other visitors, and then how many kids were there? 4 kids of the Wolf family. John, Jen, that's mom and dad, Ian, Thad, Sean, little Annalise, who's the sweetest little thing in the world, still learning to walk. And they brought along Christina Lee, who was kind of watching the kids for them. They're moving on their way out to Colorado to join Pastor Brian Wolfmiller's church as well, and they were kind enough to just stop in and say hello, spend some time, tell us about themselves and get the tour, the guided tour, which everybody gets their first visit, tissues, et cetera. So everybody, thanks for stopping by. Thanks for visiting. A very, very busy day, people in and out of. I mean, normally, it's just the three of us staring at each other. And then you have a day where you got 10 people come in.
And the only way to get an LPR bundle package is to win some kind of contest like Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week, or to visit us in studio.
Right. Everybody who visits gets the LPR bundle package, although I don't think we had any kids' sizes for the T-shirts. We never have had kids' sizes for the T-shirts.
Got some new mediums that are in. So,
oh, we do?
Yeah. Yeah. I've got to go pick them up.
Okay. Good.
I must straighten out the hypocrisy of it all about cleanliness.
What?
Who leaves their trash bag at the back door? Who has a key to the back door to get out and knows where the dumpster's out at every week?
I can tell you.
Why am I the trash man? Not only that, Craig will verify. A couple weeks ago, you just put your trash bag outside your door and left it on the hall floor.
I did?
Thirdly,
I was probably distracted by something.
Thirdly, and I've been told you're a neatnik at home. Pastor Bruce Kaysman says he's been to your house. If you spill a little drop of water, you're behind him with the towel cleaning it. However, here, who has to give you when you do leave the trash, your trash, trash bag loaded with trash at the back door, when you leave it on the floor, you fail to get another trash bag to replace it. How many times do I have to come in and give you a trash can?
Yeah, I've always wondered
about that. And you complain
about
a Pepsi can?
I've always wondered about that. Okay, I'll explain the back door thing. I'm afraid of the back door. We have an alarm on the back door. It's very persnickety, and I've set it off a couple times unintentionally. And so I'm afraid of going out the back door. That's my excuse. Jeff isn't, and Jeff sets off the alarm as often as he doesn't. So that's my excuse for not taking the trash out to the dumpster. I've never, in 2 years, never been to the dumpster once, I don't think. I think Jeff,
you know what?
Jeff Craig,
am I wrong? I think the walk from the front door is not any longer to the dumpster than the back door. Am I wrong? And he comes through the front door and leaves and enters and leaves every day through the front door.
I'm a little afraid of the front door, too, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, he has a hard time getting in with his key. Yeah. So, yeah, I could see why he's kind of averse to going out the back door. I'm guilty of that as well. I just throw my trash back in the back, and I leave it for you, Jeff. So, sorry.
I thought that's what we were supposed to do. I don't know. I mean,
you guys didn't get the memo, the LPR memo.
All right, what do we got for email?
Let's see. People not some complaints about the interview with Pastor Carl Fabritius on global warming.
All right, give it to us.
All right, here's Cooper. I was deeply disappointed with the false religion of global warming interview with Dr. Fabritius. Look at his claims. One, there are people who regard global warming as religion. He never identifies who these people are or the activities they perform that merit the rebuke. This is befuddling. As a pastor, isn't it important to identify sinful behavior so that others may avoid the pitfall? This lack of specificity leads the listener to believe that all who subscribe to global warming fall into this dreaded category. Two, Dr. Fabritius claims that the world is in fact cooling. No supports are offered for this claim, which is in sharp contradiction to the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC, as we all know it. And let's be clear. There is no scientific entity that is more qualified to render opinion on the state of global warming than this one. The research by this August body is peer reviewed and
you
published science.
You graduated from a journalism, like a
this
real
why I'm a producer,
life
and I did not. As the listeners can well attest, I haven't proofed my email, read it out loud today. Okay, so Cooper continues, and let's be clear, there's no scientific entity is more qualified to render opinion on the state of global warming than this one. The research by this august body is peer-reviewed and published science. In addition, each subsequent IPCC report notes areas where the science has improved since the previous report and also notes areas where further research is required. I'm concerned about global warming because I am a Christian. The Bible is where I learned about stewardship of the earth. Our ability to damage our planet is not in question. The evidence is sadly too plentiful to deny. So the question is, what are we going to do about it? It seems to me that we do God a grave disservice when we fail to do all we can to preserve this earth so he so generously gave us. I want to hear more about what we can do to help solve this problem and less about why my concerns for stewardship and conservation are suspect. Thanks for the email, Cooper.
Well, I don't think anyone is calling your concerns their suspect. I was trying, and I think we did succeed in that interview with Dr. Fabricius to draw the line between a right concern for God's creation. I agree with you 100%, Cooper. I don't know where I stand on the issue of whether the world is warming up or cooling down. I honestly don't know enough about the issue to tell you. All I know, it gets hot in the summer, it gets cold in the winter, and it seems like not much has changed. I would say that on the basis of Holy Scripture, we can say two things, and I think this did come out in the interview with Dr. Fabricius as well. One, God will not permit us to catastrophically destroy our entire planet or its ability to sustain life. That doesn't mean we can act with impunity. It just means that God has promised, and I'm thinking here about a Genesis promise after the flood. God did a pretty darn good job of destroying everything himself, he's capable of doing that. He says, seasons, harvest, sunrise, sunset, will all continue. The rainbow is the promise. I know that seems childish, but it's absolutely true. Every time you see one, God put it there to remind you of that creation promise, that he will preserve creation in spite of what we do. But that does not give us license to misuse it or to abuse it. Far to the contrary. The first formal command given to man, even before the Ten Commandments, is be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. It is about stewardship of this world that God has given to us as a gift. We completely agree there. So I don't know where I stand on whether we're heating up or cooling down. I know. Listeners to conservative talk radio will all get really upset with me. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I don't think anyone who hasn't done a thorough study of climate change can really say they know. And please don't say you know because you heard it on conservative talk radio. The point of the interview, however, was the religious nature of some, and I think we did emphasize some, advocates of global warming. And the religious nature of that, if I remember the interview clearly enough, is this notion, it's a different anthropology. Man has a different place in creation, according to some advocates of global warming, that man is not steward of creation, he's a scourge on creation, intruder into creation, a virus that needs to be controlled or maybe even eliminated. That was the point of the interview. That was kind of the extent of its religious analysis. We'll be right back. I don't care how much money I gotta spend, got to get back to my baby again. Lonely days are gone, I'm a going home. My baby just woke me a little. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining The Issues, etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Calvary Lutheran, Elgin, Illinois. Advent Lutheran, Zionsville, Indiana. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Worth, Texas. Holy Cross Lutheran, Albany, Oregon. St. John's Lutheran, Evanston, Indiana. Mount Calvary Lutheran, San Antonio, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Boise, Idaho. Village Lutheran, Ladue, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Osceola, Iowa. St. Paul Lutheran, Clarinda, Iowa. Trinity Lutheran, Lebanon, Missouri. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Freeburg, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The CLCC has produced a new seminar to help people understand the structure of LCMS churches. So many people today are unaware of their church polity. This seminar can be downloaded for free from the CLCC website, www.theclcc.org. This is available for a seminar, a self-study, or presentations. And think about joining us. Members can download the PowerPoint version for free. Visit us today at www.theclcc.org.
If you're a pastor or layperson in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we have some timely resources for you. The leadership of the LCMS is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. You'll find show transcripts about these proposed changes and an updated list of questions for President Gerald Kishnick's task force. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Listen on Demand. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Going through listener email on this Friday afternoon, June the 18th. A little bit later, maybe something from the Issues Etc. comment line as well. Our email address is talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. We really, really, really do like getting your email. We can't respond to all of it. That's why we do this on Friday. And we really like getting the critical email as well. We like a chance to there has to be checks and balances, even with the dictatorship that is Issues Etc. There has to be checks and balances. That's what the listeners are for us, and we really do appreciate it.
My question is, who's the dictator?
It's an oligarchy. If someone were to emerge, if there was going to be a coup, I'm pretty sure that Craig could take both of us.
Yes,
so
I think he already is.
Yeah, there you go.
Notice the difference in our paychecks lately?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be the right amount.
Really?
But, you know, I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Hey, he signs mine, so as far as I'm concerned, he's a boss.
All right, some more critical email on global warming. This is James in Naperville, Illinois. I am disappointed with your segment on the false religion of global warming. It is inaccurate to characterize a set of people by those at the extremes, for example, those who find humans merely a blight on the earth. I suppose even a Lutheran might set up a false god in confessionalism. I think that most middle of the road are rightly trying to keep the earth in good shape for their neighbors and descendants, a very ninth commandment kind of thing to do. The real crux of Christians and environmentalism is this: the relationship between our activity and God's ordering of all things. Why do people save to send their children to college, or lock their doors at night, or put their lives at risk to save others when they know perfectly well that God alone orders all things, life and death, disease, health and safety? So it is with environmentalism. We know that God will not allow the earth to be destroyed until he remakes it. We know he may well allow plague, famine, and global warming to destroy 90% of it without any recourse on our part. But we continue to do what we can for the benefit of our children, our neighbor, for our safety, and to preserve the health of the earth. It simply seems right to do so, writes James in Naperville, Illinois.
And I honestly don't think that Dr. Fabricius was saying anything other than that. I honestly don't think he was saying anything other than that. And we were trying not to paint with a broad brush that all environmentalists, you know, not all environmentalists believe in global warming either. I'm sure there are a few out there that don't. But we were trying to avoid painting with the broad brush that all environmentalists buy into the false religion of global warming, and not all who believe in global warming even buy into the false religion of global warming. We were not saying that a belief in global warming is in itself a religious belief, but some who believe it have what cannot be called anything other than certain religious propositions that they hold to about the nature of man, his place in creation, what creation is. And I think what Dr. Fabricius also pointed out was a lot of this is driven by what is also, for many, a religion, and that is a Darwinian evolutionary view of both man and this world. That's what we were trying to do.
Ethel in Houston, Texas, couple questions here. Sins to confess, number one. In my confession to God the Father of all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, am I to remember all sins throughout my life, including those previously repented and pronounced forgiven? Or am I confessing those sins since I last repentantly took part in the Lord's Supper? That's her first question.
Okay, let's deal with that one first. It's a great question, by the way. And it is a question often addressed in the Lutheran Reformation. It's really a two-part question. She asks whether or not she is to remember all sins. Does confession of sins include all sins? The answer to that question is yes. Do you need to be mindful of all sins? Answer is no, because you can't be mindful of all sins. In fact, the nature of sin is that it often blinds us to its presence. So we are not mindful of all our sins. We can't remember them, much less enumerate them or keep them all in mind. When we confess this, we are confessing total sinfulness and a life that has in every way been stained by sin. That is, in all our thoughts, words, and deeds, they are all stained by our sin, and they all are, apart from God's mercy, sin. We even confess our good works, because our good works are also, insofar as they are done by us, as we are both old and new men, they are also stained by sin. But I think the heart of her question was, do I have to remember them all? Do I have to enumerate them all? Answer is no, you can't. And that's not, confession is not, I name it and then God forgives it. We do not confess so that we can be forgiven. We confess because we are forgiven. And so I forget, oh golly, I mean, I don't know. But I'll be safe and say I forget 90% of the sins I do. I mean, that's how sinful I am. I'm not even mindful of these things I do to offend God and hurt my neighbor. And then I make a confession of my sins and I plead guilty to all because I can't remember all. Now, she also asks the question in such a way to inquire about, am I confessing everything up to this point or everything from the last time I was forgiven? The answer to that is, it's not just everything up to this point. It's everything up to, including, and past this point. We tend to think about it as, I do some sins, God does some forgiving. And while chronologically I may do some sins, God's forgiveness is total and complete. He has forgiven you of sins that you have yet to commit. He has absolved you, and when he does absolve you on the Lord's Day, he is absolving you of sins that you have done, that you are doing, that you have yet to do. The ones you know, the ones you don't know, the ones you will never know. All sins. So there isn't this quid pro quo, that is, I have so much sin, God has so much forgiveness. Now, I know chronologically I only have so much sin that I have yet committed, the finite number. But God's sin forgiving in Christ is infinite. He forgives more than we have sin. And so we don't worry about whether I've, how do I want to say this? This isn't like filling up your gas tank, where you get it filled up, you go, and then it's empty, and you need to get it filled up again. God is forever and always filling the tank, if that analogy can hold that much. He's always and forever filling the tank, so to speak, with his forgiveness. She had other questions, Jeffy?
Yes, part two is about blessings. Please comment on the appropriateness of applying God's blessing to anything other than persons, individually or collectively. We often hear, have a blessed day, bless this house, has been sung at weddings. As far as I know, LCMS churches do not bless animals or pets, and I think this is because animals have no soul. If I am right, a day or a building has no soul either. I appreciate your great programs, writes Ethel in Houston.
Well, I think we're free to bless whoever and whatever God has blessed. And God has blessed creation, including animals, not because they are on par with us, but because they are part of his good creation. I do think it actually is a Lutheran practice to, in years past, to bless homes and new buildings, ventures, land, and even property of other kinds, including animals. I mean, I would think a farmer does well when he prays every night that God would bless his crops. However it is God blesses crops, that he would do that, that God would bless his cattle. However it is God blesses cattle. Always remembering that there's a distinction between how he blesses us, which is first and foremost by forgiving our sins in Christ. There's a distinction between that and how he blesses all these other things, animate and inanimate, in our lives. But we always do well to seek God's blessing on everyone and everything. So a writer sits down with pen in hand and paper in front of him, and I think he is well within the realm of Christian piety and the Bible's warrant to say, God bless this pen and everything that comes out of it. Bless this paper to your use. We do this, don't we? Bless this food Food has no soul. It is just there to be consumed. And yet, it is blessed by God in the way that he blesses food for our good and for our use. And ultimately, that is why God blesses everything. He doesn't bless a cow because cows need blessing. He blesses cows because we need the blessing that comes to us from God through the cow. Are there any other questions there?
Not on that one, but right. Here's one from Jim in Arcadia, Michigan. Dr. Juss has used the word kerygma sick several times on your show. I'm not sure I'm spelling it correctly. I would like to know the correct spelling and any info you have on the word.
Okay. It's a technical term, and it is spelled K-E-R-Y-G-M-A. Kerygma is how it's pronounced. It's a Greek word. It is usually translated message or preaching. It's a very heavily weighted word, especially in Christian circles, because it is used as a technical term for the whole message, the whole apostolic message, generally attached to the apostles. And it can be translated teaching, preaching, proclamation, message. And if you just look it up, K-E-R-Y-G-M-A, you probably find all sorts of stuff on it. And when Dr. Just uses the word kerygma, he's using it in that technical sense, the apostolic message centered upon the saving message of Jesus Christ. And that's a good question, by the way. If you ever hear a word used by me or one of our guests that you don't understand, that we don't explain, email us. We'll try and answer the question. Stay tuned.
Communication's never been as easy as today, and it would make me happy when you've gone so far away.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Mondays, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen, and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Kirk Condridge is the proud father of 7-year-old Chloe, who has Down syndrome. Individuals like Chloe couldn't have a more passionate and effective cheerleader than Kirk. The Arizona immigration law started discussions about profiling. But Kurt believes, and I totally agree, this is exactly what's being done to preborn children with Down syndrome. Over 80% are aborted if they're diagnosed before birth. Kurt says this is nothing more than prenatal disability profiling. These children are daily being profiled and targeted. Their only crime is they're not perfect. And Kurt, a retired police officer, can't recall a single case involving an individual with Down syndrome. Let's stop prenatal disability profiling of the unborn.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Hello, it's me. I've thought about us for a long, long time.
Welcome back. This is Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email on this Friday afternoon, a little bit later. Blog of the week, Issues Etc. blog of the week. We'll have soundbite of the week. And before soundbite of the week, I don't think I mentioned this, Robert Velarde is going to join us on this Friday afternoon to kick off the second hour. He's author of the new book, The Wisdom of Pixar, an animated look at virtue. We're going to talk about the moral and spiritual themes in a movie that just opened today, Toy Story 3. He went to see it. We're going to get his review. Colleen Carroll Campbell will join us after that to talk about Sarah Palin and what she's calling the new feminist identity, and then Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week.
Who sings Hello, It's Me? I was just wondering. Is that James Taylor?
No, Todd Rundgren.
Really?
Yes, if I'm not mistaken. Wow. I'm pretty sure it is.
So Todd, I thought Todd Rundgren had more, like, a little more oomph to his music. Am I wrong?
I think normally he does, but am I wrong, Craig? He's actually throwing up his hands on a music question. That's hard
Maybe
to believe.
Maybe one of the smartest listeners in radio. Talk back at issuesetc.org and let us know.
I believe it's Todd Rundgren.
I wouldn't know.
Whose career seems to have lasted only during the late 70s.
Of course, I'm so out of it. You mocked me because I didn't know who Lady Gaga was a week ago.
And I've come to the conclusion that when you don't know who actually sings our bump music, you just assign it to Jefferson Starship. You just say Jefferson
Grace
Starship.
Slick. Yeah, Grace Slick.
Yep.
Pat Benatar. I don't know. Fill in the blanks. Here's an email from Heather. About pro-life women in politics, Heather writes, I think we see fewer of them because many qualified women would rather be home with their children rather than get caught up in the mess that is the political landscape. Pro-life women are going to be less willing to sacrifice important family time and often church responsibilities to run a campaign at any level. Thanks for listening, Heather, and thanks for the email.
Well, I think that accounts for a lot of it, too. In fact, in the National Review, no, it was a New York Times piece that Ramesh Panuru did that occasioned our conversation with him this week. He wrote that, look, part of the reason that you don't see the pro-life woman fairly represented in the political landscape is because, generally speaking, pro-life women are, not all of them are staying home, but they have kids, they have responsibilities. They are they're taking care of house, home, sometimes career as well. And who has time to enter the political sphere? Very good insight. Smartest listeners in radio.
This is Herman calling in to let you know that on the basis of primitive audio over-the-air technology in the AM car radio, I was able to pick up Issues Etc. today in the 4 o'clock hour off of KSIV 1320 at Perryville, Missouri, which is where Pastor Wilkin was united in holy matrimony with his wife. So I was able to get a fairly good signal there, and it was legible, as Pastor Bill Whedon discussed to him today. Also, just make a comment on Jennifer Roback Morse. Interview the other day on the supposedly the lesbian parenting study. What you're seeing embedded in that is the homosexual superiority movement now coming out of the homosexual movement. And I'm going to say, I think I mentioned this aspect to you a while back, and it appears now that it's becoming more visibly asserted. So keep your eyes open on that aspect of things down the way in this movement. Hey, would watch it and report on it, as you have been doing. Thank you very much.
And thank you for the comment. By the way, anybody who wants to leave a comment at the Issues Etc. comment line can do so 24/7, 618-223-8384, 618-223-8384. 8384, the Issues Etc. comment line for your questions, your comments, your criticism, and show suggestions, all of those things. I didn't realize that our St. Louis affiliate signal would reach all the way down to Perryville, Missouri. I mean, that's a little distance down there, and he said he was picking it up down there in Perry County.
Yeah, it's the same amount of power as our previous employer, KFUO, but the signal's pointed more towards Missouri, whereas here in Illinois, KFUO's signal is stronger than KSIV.
So it's how the signal is directed.
Right, exactly.
Well, I'm glad he could hear us down there because I know that we have a lot of listeners down in Perry County.
That's good.
Yeah, very good.
That's good. What else did he talk about? I was back there trying to make coffee.
He gave us I Told You So's on our conversation with Jennifer Roback Morse on lesbian parenting. He said, I saw this one coming. And, you know, I say smartest listeners in radio, and I mean it, because often some of the best ideas we get are from our listeners or listeners who say, I heard something, let me tell you about it. What is it? Every day, virtually every day, a listener will send Jeff or me something, and a lot of it ends up working its way through the system and actually getting on the air. Topics, guests, something that's been written that is great. We can't research it all. We can't read it all. We can't pay attention to it all. And it's nice to have a network of listeners out there who, when they hear something someplace else, they want to hear what we have to say about it or what one of our guests has to say about it and let us know.
Cliff in Sykeston, Missouri writes, I was just listening to Colleen Carroll Campbell's dialogue and am surprised and yet not surprised at how easily the South Park producers are willing to roll over and give up their self-proclaimed ideals to make fun of anyone and their constitutional right to free speech. What I find especially bothersome is that by quickly recapitulating from one threat, Hollywood becomes a complicit co-conspirator with Islam as they blast all other forms of religion, especially Christianity, with impunity, while saying nary a word about or against Islam. Their actions are tacit approval of Islam, giving Islam a false legitimacy. This intimidation is precisely the basis of Islam's spread throughout history, writes Cliff in Sykeston, Missouri.
Now, I have a different take on the South Park episodes. Now, I understand that there was pressure put on the South Park producers to not picture Muhammad, to censor even perhaps the utterance of his name on their animated series. I understand that. But I think that the producers of South Park probably achieved far more by way of social and religious critique of Islam by blacking out Muhammad. Everyone knows why they did it. Now, had they just left his image up there as kind of a mockery to Islam, they could have achieved some other purpose. But honestly, I didn't interpret it as capitulation. I heard it as, you want us to black him out? We'll black him out. And everyone will know why we blacked him out. Everyone will know why we avoided showing Muhammad, put him in, what was it, a bear suit? If I'm not mistaken, a Santa suit or a bear suit? A bear suit. I think they actually were quite clever, to tell you the truth. Now, I understand that there was pressure, but if you want to blame somebody, blame the people who put the pressure on Comedy Central, not on what I think were the very clever producers to literally call attention to the fact that Muslims, for some reason, cannot bear to see likenesses, even animated funny likenesses of Muhammad. Now, do they take stabs at Jesus? Of course they do. And you know, while I consider that to be blasphemous and sacrilegious, I think it gives Christians ample opportunity not to throw a fit, not to get their feathers ruffled about it. Say, well, this is kind of par for the course of being a Christian. Mockery and ridicule. And I think they've been pretty even-handed, to tell you the truth. I remember a certain Scientology episode that they did that was probably the best primer on what Scientologists actually believe than maybe even anything we've done here on issues, etc. So they are painting with a brush equally on everybody, and I think they did a lot to highlight the intolerance of Islam, even by blacking out Muhammad.
This is from Paul. Thanks for your response on issues, etc. regarding my question on the Fourth Commandment. You referred me to the pre-Constantine church fathers. If I could trouble you further, if you could be more specific, I'd be grateful. These matters are not my long suit, and you could say, for example, try Tertullian, and you're wasting your time with Arius. I would bestir myself and look into the former. I appreciate your taking time to prepare for and be on issues, etc. The people there are doing the Lord's work, in my opinion. I also observed that saying in my response to my question offering staying with the system to meet ungodly state behavior, that there are those who would say that the system itself is being corrupted and destroyed by those currently in control of the state, and therefore this advice offers less than a complete remedy, writes Paul.
Okay, now I think Paul directed that email to one of our guests of the Pastor's Roundtable when we were talking about Fourth Commandment, honor your father and mother. And I have no real expertise in the pre-Constantinian fathers, that is, church fathers before Constantine. There are some. There are actually many, and along in the same era as Emperor Constantine. So now, with regard to whether or not the system is being corrupted by people who currently serve in Washington, D.C., you know, I think that's been pretty much true all along. Politics does attract a certain type, doesn't it? And if they don't go to Washington being that way, they become that way after being in Washington. And I mean on both sides of the aisle. I don't think either party, any party, can claim to have cornered the market on political corruption, gaming the system, manipulating the system. Look, the exercise of human power among us is at best an ongoing failure. It's at best an ongoing failure. It's amazing it doesn't fall apart more often than it does. We should be on our knees every day thanking God that it doesn't fall apart more often than it does. We are, after all, trying to govern a population of sinners with a people that we elect to govern who are no better. So we should marvel that it is as good as it is for us. Even now, we'll be right back. We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you an Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Faithful confession trumps company loyalty. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you. Ten more minutes left in this first hour of Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, June the 18th. Listener email, Issues Etc. comment line, and Issues Etc. blog of the week coming up here in just a minute. You know what else is coming up? 2-year anniversary, 12 days from today. Can you believe it? 2 years we've been sitting in this place doing this show since our return. It's hard for me to believe. I didn't think 2 years would go so fast. In fact, I actually had some questions about whether or not we'd still be sitting here 2 years after we started on June 30th, 2008, just 3 months after being canceled and summarily terminated. We were back on the air. In these chairs, my office was set up a little bit different. We were back on the air. And it's the anniversary 2 years going strong, June 30th, this summer of 2010.
I can't believe I've been taking your trash out for 2 years.
Think about it. All the trash you've taken out in the course of 2 years. How many trips to the dumpster? Amazing.
In the cold. In the heat.
Yes. And everything in between. The rain. He's done it in the rain.
In the rain.
Yes. Lightning. He's like a postal worker with those trash bags. Nothing deters him from his appointed rounds. So are you looking forward to the anniversary? Do we have anything planned for the anniversary?
I don't know if I'm going to be here on the day of our anniversary.
Really?
I'm on the board for the Lutheran Youth Organization Higher Things, and I know I got to be there the 28th and 29th, and I don't know what time I'm getting back on the 30th. I don't know if I'll be here.
We might actually get it. Could we get a day off on the 30th?
I don't know. I don't think that would be appropriate. I think people would be wanting to hear from you.
Well, that's true. That's true. Dang it. Kind of wanted a day off on the 30th, right in the middle of the week, too. If my calendar is correct, it would have been pretty nice. What else was there? Something else I was thinking about.
Oh, we had an interview recorded earlier today with Brian McLaren, probably the pope of the, I shouldn't say that's the primary leader of the emergent church movement.
I think we can safely call him one of the founders and one of the still leading lights of the emergent church movement. Although he pointed out in our long interview with him, he doesn't use that term anymore. So wow, what a nice guy. I mean, Joel Osteen nice. Really, really nice. And I think very fair in the way our conversation, we obviously disagreed on very fundamental things. But he was just a sweetheart about it the whole time and very courteous and very patient with my questions. I kept pressing a couple questions and he was kept answering them to the best of his ability. You know, we do these interviews. I like to call them let the horse speak interviews. We do these interviews so that for several reasons. We don't want to mischaracterize the people whose theology we so often critique. And so if we find someone like Robert Schuller, Bart Ehrman, who else have we done, Jeff, in the series of these interviews?
Joyce Meyer, Tim LaHaye, John Shelby Spong.
N.T. Wright, kind of. There was a little bit of that going on with N.T. Wright. And Brian McLaren, when we do these interviews, what we try and do is simply have them say what it is they believe so that people can hear it from the horse's mouth. Now, we leave the response, the debate, whatever there may be, to follow, which is what we'll do with this Brian McLaren interview. He was so generous with his time, we might be able to stretch it over 2 days and let our listeners respond to everything he had to say. And then at some point, perhaps the next day, we hope to get someone on to respond more formally to his ideas and things like that. Because I'm not an expert. I just ask questions about these things. And I learn a lot in the course of doing those interviews. They're the kind of interviews I actually look forward to doing with, and this never happens, except in these cases, I get nervous before those interviews and no others. I get nervous before those. And I never get nervous about doing an interview.
I get nervous for every interview.
I know you do, but today I was actually sitting there at my desk thinking, once I'm in the interview, it was fine, but I was a bag of nerves before we brought him on. And interviewing people doesn't cause me nerves at all. I think it's the anticipation of the inevitable confrontation, even though it's in almost every case. It's a very gentle confrontation.
And we always try to give them the pure gospel.
And
so
ask
they
them
walk
to
away and respond to it. And
right.
We did that with Brian McLaren. And I'm sure we'll be playing the interview probably in its entirety for maybe 2 days next week. It's about a 40-minute interview. And then we'll probably get, and thanks to Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith and Shane Rosenthal of the White Horse Inn radio program for giving us some suggestions on questions to ask Brian McLaren. But we'll probably bring Chris on next week to cut up some of the interview and respond to it. I think Chris is one of the best experts when it comes to the emergent church movement.
And sometimes in these interviews, you get complete honesty. You get absolute complete honesty. The horse really speaks. And then in other cases, you don't get complete honesty. Who's the guy from Wall Builders that we interviewed years ago? Is it from Wall Builders?
Oh, David Barden.
David Barden.
Yeah.
I could not get him to say what he says every place else. He wouldn't say it. I couldn't get him to say America is a Christian nation, the founding fathers were Christian icons, all these kinds of things. Couldn't get him to say it. And I don't think he was completely honest with us. When we interviewed Joyce Meyer, she had some moments where she was backing off on stuff that she says all the time. But other times you get just the complete unvarnished honesty from him. It's very refreshing. Even if you disagree, it's very refreshing to have these different opinions stated honestly.
Here's an email we received yesterday. Pastor Alan Kornacki was so generous to drive all the way from Campbell Hill, Illinois, to participate in the Pastor's Roundtable. And one of his fellow pastors said that today is Pastor Kornacki's 10th anniversary of ordination. Happy anniversary, Al.
Yeah, thank you. thank you very much. For coming in and for being part of the roundtable and for 10 years of faithful ministry as a Lutheran pastor.